Nintendo Nostalgia. I'm your host, Ryan Black, and I am back, and we are playing with power. Nostalgia makers, I hope all of you are doing well this week. I've been doing pretty good myself, and I'm looking forward to the latter half of gaming this year. Without any further wahoo, let's get into what I am radical rexing about. All right, so I have wrapped up Tears of the Kingdom, and it was amazing, phenomenal. I did go ahead and take some time out and got all of the light shrines and got all the shrines done, the light roots and the shrines, and upgraded my spirit, basically my my champion's abilities. And, you know, I just decided, you know, I've done about as much as I want to do now. I still have a lot of side quests to do, and I'll get back into it again. But I rolled credits and stopped playing, so I haven't gone back to the game since. I've even archived it, and I will come back to that later when I'm ready. I am thoroughly a Zelda'd out, so I'm ready for some other games. In the interim, while I'm waiting for my Zelda meter to charge back up again, I did go ahead and hop into the Splatoon Splatfest, and I chose Mint. We did not win. Vanilla won, and I might have picked Vanilla had I not picked Mint, but Draco was picking Mint, and I wanted to play with Draco, so that was that. I don't mind Mint ice cream one bit. I guess some other games that I have been playing, even The Ocean, it's an indie title. It's kind of a, like, a yin and yang, like, you balance speed versus jumping, and you run through these fields that charge up the meter. If you go too high in speed or too high in jumping, it'll actually destroy your character. So you have to keep this balance and go through these different fields, kind of puzzle solving and activating towers and trying to figure out the mystery of the overall world. It deals with a lot of cool elements, some hot topics, like just treatment of people who are different, people who are of a different race and a different type or lower income, and just the higher up and rich people's expanding people as a pawn. And then the main hero, she's doing what she's being asked, but she's also like hyper aware of what's going on around her. And each segment that you get done with at the end of the night, she'll be sitting on her bed writing her diary, kind of recapping what she's seen so far. And it deals with a lot of other heavy things like death and grieving and spawning friendship outside of the tragedies with other people. So it's a really good little indie game. I definitely recommend picking it up. It's called Even the Ocean. And speaking of indie games, I did go ahead and pick up Oxenfree 2. Chris White got me into the first Oxenfree, and I really appreciated that I got to experience that. And so I picked up Oxenfree 2. I've played about halfway through the game. I got kind of like in this funk where I was like, I don't really feel like I'm in the mood to play Oxenfree 2 anymore right now. I couldn't really sit still. And so I did put it like on pause, but I do plan on going back to that pretty soon here. I've just been doing some Pokemon stuff in the interim, Pokemon Go, and making sure I've kind of reorganized my Pokemon home boxes again. And I just hopped on and did a couple of Terra raids and things, and just dabbling a little bit with Pokemon because it's kind of a comfort thing for me. But that's pretty much all I have been radical rexing about. This week's episode is all about celebrating the 40th anniversary of the Famicom, the NES in the States. So let's go ahead and get into the main topic. Beginning of Nintendo's legendary legacy of consoles started with the Famicom. So my personal experience, this whole episode is going to be all about my own nostalgia for the system. Just kind of, it'll give you a rundown of my upbringing with the system. It's not super lengthy. It's not full of a lot of games, but I did enjoy quite a bit of this library growing up as a kid. a lot of it is nostalgic for my grandparents, especially my grandpa. He was the coolest grandpa that would take me to all the movies and get me all the cool games and spoil me all the time. Loved him so much. And he's dearly missed. He was a grandpa to everybody. Jacob also called him grandpa. And yeah, it was really cool. So some of the first games that I've played in my early years at my grandpa's house was the Duck Hunt Mario Brothers combo. I remember getting super frustrated with Mario because I got to the water level and I didn't know the swimming mechanic. You had to press the A button a bunch of times. So I got really frustrated with that. And he helped me get over that part and learn that, like, yes, you can actually swim over the coral and keep going. And blew my mind at the time. Like, my grandpa was my hero for figuring that one out for me. Some of the other games that I had an ABC and a 1-2-3 Sesame Street game. Those songs still stick in my head to this day. In fact, I recently picked up a copy of both games just for nostalgia's sake. And then also I had Tetris, which I also picked up. I think we also had like Jeopardy and Wheel of Fortune. I think that was more for the adults. I didn't quite get all that. It was really boring for me. But I did want to mention those since they were part of the library there at my grandpa's. And then at some point we got an NES at my home. And I remember playing NES with my dad. We only had really, I think, two games, maybe three games at the house. I know I played a lot of Ice Climbers with my dad. It's really nostalgic for that. And then there was a game called Pipe Dream. It's kind of like a puzzler game where it's like a snake thing. You don't want to run into the pipes. You want to get from one end to the other. It's a fun little game. And that's kind of my early years of nostalgia. There was some outliers here or there when I went over to... my dad managed a lot of rental properties, and they had one over next to a college by my house. It's actually where I used to live before I moved into the current house I'm in now. And I saw these college kids were playing Legend of Zelda, and I'm like, I want to play. I totally know how to play Nintendo. And they're like, oh, it's a bit too old for you. And I could only watch. And I got to watch a little bit of it, but I thought it was so cool seeing this golden cartridge. Like, I was starstruck. And then I also saw some NES games. I went to a local Pizza King. I think we did like a pizza party that we went to for like elementary school, and they took us all to a Pizza King. And they had one of those TVs where you could like pay money to get some time to play games. And they had these like weird controllers. They weren't necessarily NES controllers, but they were, you know, it was a strange system. But I remember playing like Battletoads on that and it being super hard, and like, it wasn't really worth the money to do because, you know, Battletoads plus you had to pay for every play. Like, you're going to lose a lot of money for that. So I only got a couple rounds on it, but it was pretty fun to experience that. And then, you know, other odd places that I got to play these Nintendo games, like my childhood friend growing up, his mom had a trailer at a getaway lake called, I think it was like Dietz Lake or something like that. And they had an arcade cabinet that had Metroid on it randomly, like, I don't know why or how, but I got to play Metroid on that. And then I would go over to a friend's house and they would have Kid Nicky. And I'd play Radical Ninja quite a bit. And then I played Spiritual Warfare and Moses, those two unofficial, unlicensed, I should say, games that were kind of like Christian themed. basically, I recommend like the Spiritual Warfare game just because it's like a Zelda-like like classic Zelda, but with like a, you know, a religious spin, but it was kind of over the top anyway. And then I remember going over to my friend's house in my class. They were the Smiths and they had Spelunker, and I had fun playing that game with them. Then I think I went to my mother's. Okay, this is a weird connection. My mother had an accountant that we knew really well, and we would go up to their cabin up in... I guess it was down in Brown County, and we would play Hook, the video game, and then also there was a Bugs Bunny game at the cabin. I think it was like some kind of birthday game or something. Really enjoyed those games. Again, these things just sparked my nostalgia and just like wonder, and like new games all the time on NES. Like, I was such a kid, like in a candy store. Every time I'd see an NES lying around, and I'd want to like learn, oh, what games do you have? Like, I want to play, and you know, I was completely like hyper nerd focused on these things. A little bit later, I don't know how or when, but at some point an NES ended up at my grandma's. I'm thinking it might have been the one that was at my parents' house, and it just ended up at my grandma's at some point. I'm not sure exactly why, but I remember playing Ninja Gaiden on that system, and I got to the final boss, which is crazy. Like, I had stupid amount of time as a kid, I swear. Even amidst all the time I was kicked out to go out and play in the garden because, you know, I was playing too much time on the TV, I still got some time to play some Ninja Gaiden. And then I remember when NES was going out of fashion, and our local Kroger was stopping a rental of video games, and they were phasing that all out. And so they had a Low G Man and Street Fighter 2010. And I got those, and I played those quite a bit. I love those games. I have a lot of nostalgia for those too. And then Iron Sword 2, at some point my grandmother picked that one up at like a garage sale or something. And not a great game, but I played a little bit of it. And I guess more non-Nintendo stuff that I experienced. I did have some ROMs in middle school that were like, they were Nintendo NES games, so I got to play Yo-Noid for the first time, which was a Domino's themed, like their mascot was like a villain, and you could play as the villain, and you had like a yo-yo you'd attack with. It was kind of a fun little game. If you want to definitely like check that out, it's quite fun. And then a little bit more on my journey with the NES. So at some point, kind of in between my grandmother having an NES or having our NES or something like that, and my grandpa's NES, I did a trade up. If you didn't take your game systems and controllers and games all in plastic sacks, grocery sacks, to the local buy, sell, and trade, like your nostalgia is lacking there. I remember my grandpa getting so upset that he wasn't getting a money return on all the money that he spent in all those things, those games, because it depreciated so much. But alas, he still went ahead and did it. He upgraded me to the SNES, and it was so cool to be able to do that and jump into the new generation. My grandpa was the coolest. And then some of the later years of NES, aside from like, you know, getting Virtual Console and things like that, I did pick up a Fester's Quest cartridge a number of years ago, and then I've acquired, I think, a couple of NES systems. None of them working, but I did get a couple of those, and you know, dreaming of being able to play NES games again. And more recently, I actually picked up Little Nemo and Adventures in Magic Kingdom, two games that I was big into. And then just to share a little bit of my nostalgia for the accessories, there's only a couple of things that I had for the NES that were accessory-wise. I remember my grandma had the Game Genie, and I remember plugging it in and plugging the game in, and like, I don't get what this thing does. And it looked so cool in the packaging with the genie and everything. But like, when I plugged it in, it was just a bunch of numbers and characters and things that I didn't understand. So I just like unplugged it, put it back in the drawer, and then just went back to playing my games, because like, this game isn't fun. I didn't understand what a Game Genie's potential was at the time. And I also had this like really ridiculously like big controller adapter thing. It was like this big, huge chunk of plastic you'd attach on the controller. And it like made, it was for like bigger hands. And so like the A and B buttons were like a lot higher up. And it was like just kind of like a long, almost like a spike that presses down into the button below it. And gives you like this wider grip on the controller. I don't know why I tried to make that work. I had little hands. So like, I didn't know why I was trying to use that other than, oh, bigger must be better, you know? Some of the like my biggest nostalgia is just nostalgia, you know, with Jacob, being able to play these NES games at his house. My biggest experience with, you know, Mario Brothers 3 was with Jacob and my friend Damien. We both played together those games and figured out and got a lot of that experience on Mario Brothers 3. For me personally, I didn't actually have my own Mario Brothers 3 until I had gotten the SNES and got the All-Star Collection. And that's when I really got to make Mario 3 my own. But I did enjoy quite a bit playing at friends' house and really, really love the NES. I've got a lot of nostalgic memories tied to family, my dad, my friends, my grandpa, and it's very near and dear to my heart. It may not be the game that I had, the system that I had the most nostalgia on, but it's the stuff that I cut my teeth on and grew up with. And I was even surprised to see like a list of NES games that I played on PC that actually had versions on NES. And I kind of wish I could go back and play those games as well. Things like Firehouse Rescue was a Fisher-Price game and a few others here and there. And I would love to go back and get a working NES and get to experience those again, or have them pop up on a virtual console. And I know a lot of it is just licensed and probably going to be stuck in license, you know, world forever unless they come to some really cool streaming service or something. But I just think it's really cool. I'd love to see game preservation go and make these things accessible where they aren't currently and just have like some kind of subscription service to gain access to the museum library and play them on some place with the controller of your choice, especially with, you know, Bluetooth controllers that are NES and SNES and everything. I'd love to go back and experience those things. But I just wanted to say a very, very happy birthday to the Famicom and the NES. And please let us know, send us an email, let us know your nostalgia for the NES. And maybe you have something later in life, or maybe you only have virtual console, like, not to discount virtual console, please, like, let us know what your virtual console NES memories are. And just share us your love of Nintendo, and we would love to hear from you. Well, I believe that brings us to the end of the show. Thank you so much for listening this week. I know it's a short one. It's a little bit of a Nintendo Nostalgia Select, but I hope you enjoyed this mini episode. You can find the show on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Podcasts, Pandora Podcasts. And you can also find some select episodes on some older episodes on YouTube. And then you can also find us on Facebook at Nintendo NOS, on our TikTok, Nintendo _ NOS, Twitter, Nintendo _ NOS, Instagram, Nintendo NOS IN. Shoot us an email, NintendoNostalgiaIN@gmail.com. And you can call into our nostalgia hotline, share your memories, and show us some love at 317-969-5690. Guys, that brings us to the end of the episode. Thank you so much for listening and joining me, and we will catch you next time. Later, Preston.